Technorama episode 383 for September 11, 2013. Diffraction grating.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Mary had a little lamb. Hey, where did it go?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts to disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama for September 11, 2013. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and stepping just off camera is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I still got a Dragon Con hangover. I don't know about you. Look, I still got...
Oh, he's got Lisa's sword.
Yeah. I'm just going to wear it like this the rest of the night.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
You look like Conan.
Yes, I still got the sword. I'm having Dragon Con withdrawals. How about you?
Tuesday, yes. Wednesday, not so much anymore.
What do they call that? Post-traumatic con syndrome?
That's not good.
Yeah, PSCD. No,
it was a traumatic syndrome, yes. All right.
Yeah. I had a good time.
Ding. Coming up in this episode, we have Bill Nye, the Death Ray, and antenna hats. And please note that these may or may not be related at all.
Take a facts-based journey through the cosmos with Astronomy Cast. Join me, Dr. Pamela Gay, and my co-host Fraser Kane, publisher of Universe Today, as we discuss not just what we know, but how we know it. Topics range from dark matter to why Pluto isn't a planet. Get your episodes today at astronomycast.com or look for us in iTunes.
Hi, this is Brian from Coverville, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig from Technorama.
And then Kirk says, "That's no Spock, that's my brother."
Sam. Isn't that what his brother's name supposed to
Cybok.
Be?
Cybok.
No, Spock. Oh, Kirk.
Kirk's brother? Sam, yes.
Yes. Sam.
But wait. Oh, hey, that's a reboot thing we didn't talk about.
What's that?
Was Sam his older brother or his younger brother?
It was supposed to be an older brother, wasn't it?
I don't know. Was it?
Yeah, I believe
he
it
never
was.
Came up in the
but
reboot.
In the movie, they didn't relate. They didn't call him Sam, nor did they. I don't even think they referred to him as at
I think
all.
He's been written off.
Yeah, maybe.
All right, we have listener feedback, Craig.
What?
Yes. I'm going to play letters, an abbreviate. No, you know what? Letters.
We get your letters every day.
What?
Mailman, mailman, mail today.
Reach right out and pull one out.
Those letters, I love those letters. Let's find out what you've got to say.
Oh, boy.
Mailman, mail today.
We haven't heard that music in so long. It just refreshing.
It warms the cockles of my heart.
Careful. It's a kids-friendly show. We have a message from John Miller on Facebook. It says, "Hey, guys, if you had a live-action movie done about you, as opposed to, what, an animated series?"
I'd love to see that.
I thought it was action figures, but no, it's a live-action movie. We could do stop-action animation. Yeah. Which one of you wants Tobey Maguire to play you? Craig, do you want to be Tobey Maguire, or would you rather be Shia LaBeouf?
Actually, you know what? For me, I was thinking more like along the lines of Peter Weller or Rucker Howard.
Peter Weller. He's a little old, man.
A younger Peter Weller, like RoboCop age.
We'll have Ashton Kutcher as Craig Stepp. I was thinking I could be played by Chris Hemsworth, but I'd have to kind of bulk up.
Yeah. Or I think he's got way much more hair than you do.
I also think Benedict Cumberbatch could do a decent one of us because, you know, Australian and British accents are cool. But no, seriously,
yes,
it's been said by some people that I resemble Gary Sinise, and he's only a few years older than me.
Sinise?
You know, Lieutenant Dan from.
I know. Oh, I know who it is. Actually, I could go with Tom Hanks, and you could go with Gary Sinise.
Oh, okay.
You could reteam on Technorama.
Technorama's like a box of chocolates.
You never know.
It just melts right in the middle of a hot day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jack Jaffe at Dragon Con said that I resemble Roger Slattery from Mad Men. He's the kind of white-haired dude. But I don't have white hair, so I can fix that quickly.
Yeah, a little baby powder.
Right. We also have a voicemail. Let's see if I can pull that up real quick.
Wait, who's going to write the script for our show?
TJ and my 4-year-old daughter. Say hi. Mm-hmm. Oh, she's beat. Say hi. There you go, Chloe. And we are, yes, we are the Kirshners.
And I have a dog named Moxie.
We have a dog named Moxie. Anyway, we like to listen to you guys while we're eating breakfast. And just wanted to say howdy. So anyway, thanks for making your show, and we'll keep on listening.
Hey, all right, thanks. Well, we're a breakfast show now. I like that. Say hi, and then the phone goes, like it got a text message.
You know, I always thought our show was kind of like a geek morning show.
Right. Well, now it officially is for at least one family.
Yeah. Hey, I thought he said his dog was Proxy at first, and I thought, then I listened to it again, he said Moxie, right?
Proxy would be a great name for a dog.
I know, wouldn't it? Come here, Proxy. Come here, Proxy.
I still say my favorite dog name would be a Dalmatian named Toner.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
A Dalmatian named Toner.
Toner.
That's a great dog name.
Like you spilled Toner on the dog.
Toner sounds like boner. And dogs fetch bones, yeah. Right?
Yeah, well, you know, things around with a lot of things just
you don't always
whatever.
Don't always say them out loud, right?
Yeah, no. Just keep it in your head.
Each show
you start laughing for no reason like I do.
Each show we do this live on Google Plus Hangouts. If you want to join us, head on over to Google Plus and you can circle. I almost said friend and circle like him was Furkle. You can Furkle. Technorama podcast. We have AD Dude in the chat room, Captain Rootbeer, Gru, Mad Marv, and you and me, and of course the channel serve.
Channel serve. Yeah, we should shout out to the Chan serve all the time.
Woo, Chan serve. Yay.
What's up? Yay. Thanks for being there.
We also look at our birthday calendar once a week, and this week falls right between two dates, and there's only one birthday. If it had gone one day or the other, we would have had a little more birthdays. So our shout out this week goes to Andrew Peters, the Pearl Hacker from the UK. I mean, he must be the Pearl Hacker from the UK, not a Pearl Hacker. Happy birthday on September 14th to him. And if it's your birthday this week and you're not on the birthday calendar, you can go over to chuckchat.com/wiki. And we will wish you a happy birthday at the appropriate time of year. In fact, we'll wish you a happy birthday if it's your birthday this week anyway. You don't
have to drop us a tip in the tip jar and we'll shout out to you every time we make a podcast.
Happy birthday to our wondrous people who give the tip jar a little jingle every month. No, that is greatly appreciated. Like I said, we do this on Google Plus Hangout every Sunday night at 9:30 Eastern Time, or whatever time that equates to in your neck of the woods. What do you say we do the historical thing?
Let's do it, Charles.
on this day in history for September 11th, 2013. This is September 11th, 2013. It's the 254th day of the year. That's F-E in hex in the Gregorian calendar. There are 111 days remaining in 2013. 111 would be 7 in binary. I'm just saying those for no apparent reason. They're just fun numbers.
Yes.
It was on this date in 1609 that Henry Hudson discovers Manhattan Island and the indigenous people living there.
Yeah. And the same date in 1792, the Hope Diamond is stolen along with other French crown jewels when 6 men break into the house used to store them.
Stephen Foster's well-known song, Oh Susanna, isn't that one of Bender's songs too?
Oh, shoot. Yeah.
His first performed at a saloon in Pittsburgh today in 1874.
And just a short 110 years ago today, the first race of the Milwaukee Mile in West Allis.
West Allis.
Okay. Wisconsin is held. I figured you'd
it's
know.
It's an hour south
the
there.
It's the oldest major speedway in the world.
Woohoo! George Stibitz performs the first remote operations of a computer on this date in 1940, and it was not with VNC.
And it was this date in 1972 the San Francisco Bay Area Rapid Transit System had its opening day of passenger service.
Bert!
Yeah, the Bert.
6 years later, in 1978, Janet Parker is the last person to die of smallpox in a laboratory-associated outbreak.
And NASA's Mars Global Surveyor reaches Mars on September 11th, 1997.
And today in 2007, Russia tests the largest conventional weapon ever, the father of all bombs. Happy birthday.
Not the mother.
Happy birthday goes out on this date to Scottish explorer Mungo Park, born on this date in 1771.
And sharing the same birth date in 1816, German lens maker and creator of the optical instrument is Carl Zeiss.
James Hopwood Jeans, English physicist, astronomer, and mathematician, was born today in 1877.
And also born this day in 1935, German...
German.
Gonna...
German Titov.
I didn't say that age. German Titov, Soviet pilot and astronaut.
American astronaut Robert Crippen turns 76. Wow.
And Charles Geisch...
Geschke?
American business... What? Geschke? American businessman. Co-founded Adobe Systems in... is 74 today.
Turning 73 today, Robert Palmer, not the musician who sings Addicted to Love, American businessman, co-founder of MozTech.
And finally, the actress who played Belana Torres in Star Trek Voyager, Roxanne Dawson, turns 55.
And that's the way it was on this day in history for September 11th, 2013.
Top secret news, everyone!
Hey, by the way, I'm catching up with the last few episodes of Futurama.
Did you see the final one?
And I love that.
Did you see the final one?
No, I haven't been there yet. Don't
he
even.
He comes into the room and says, G-N-E?
Yeah. I was watching the one where the professor tricked out the ship, you know, after it was blew up, you know, in the mm-hmm. thing. And they were in the, he did the transdimensional rift, you know, and went into time. Anyway, they were 2D. And I remember Fry was standing there and he said, oh man, I look like a stupid cartoon character now.
Because he's two dimensional.
Yeah. Oh, now I look like a stupid cartoon character now. That was funny.
I can't see you. All I see is a bunch of lines. That was very imaginative, by the way.
How do you eat it? How do you eat here? And the alien kind of dissolves it and it spits it back out. And he goes, okay, got it.
In the news, one of our favorite celebrities, science nerd celebrities, Bill Nye is getting a rare chance to show off his out-of-this-world dance moves. The scientist and head of the Planetary Society is joining the cast of the 17th season of the ABC show Dancing with the Stars. Is 17th season now? Oh my gosh.
Yeah, wow. How do you like that?
I would have said maybe 5 or 6. Shows how long I wasn't paying attention.
It's been around. Well, they do like 2 a year. So it's like the Survivor where there's really 2 seasons in a year. So they're like season, what, 22, okay. 23 by now? It's only been about like 10 years.
Gotcha. There's too many of those shows about talent and dancing and things for me to keep up with. X Factor and America's Got Talent and Who's Got Talent and what's your special ability?
What's your talent?
I have a special purpose.
Yeah. We'll talk about that later. Wait, no.
I saw Navinar Johnson at Dragon Con. He was holding a bunch of oil cans.
Oh, what? Oh, that's right. Yeah.
First, he looked like an ice cream salesman because he had that hat on. Anyway, Bill Nye is famous, of course, for his educational television show, which aired from 93 to 98. Nye began his career as, do you remember? What did he start his career as?
The weather guy.
No, a mechanical engineer.
Oh, yeah.
But he transitioned over the years into science education, comedy, and acting. I first caught him on a local sketch comedy show called Almost Live, which was out of the Seattle area in 91, 92, something like that.
Oh, like for real comedy? Is that what you're talking
about? Yeah, it was kind of like a Saturday Night Live kind of thing, but it was called Almost Live. Pretty good. Okay. Go look it up sometime. Huh. That's where I first heard of him, and I've been following him since. So, what, almost 20 years or more?
Wow.
All right, this is for those of you who spend too much time on the internet, there is hope. Unfortunately, it's not covered by any HMOs or PPOs or FSAs or HSAs. When it comes to healthcare benefits, I'm a total idiot. I'm technically smart, but I can't handle the benefits. That's why I'm really glad I'm married to the person I am. She figures it all out. She goes, hey, did you transfer your HSA flex spend blah blah blah? I'm like, what numbers do you need and where should I sign?
Just put the paper in front of
me. So I fill out the number. She goes, no, that's not the right number. I said, you needed the account number. No, that's your group number. I'm like, anyway.
Just go away and I come back when I call
addiction
you.
Experts will saying that there's now a internet addiction clinic. For a scant $14,000, the Bradford Regional Medical Center in Bradford, Pennsylvania, will cure your internet addiction. Or at least until the second you're home and fall right back down that rabbit hole. Addiction experts will treat patients at the hospital's Behavioral Health Services Department, the wing that also treats substance addiction. Oh, that's nice. You'd be right next to the crackheads. Hey, man, can you hide this packet for me? No.
I need some bits. Can you bit me up?
The psychologist who created the program, Dr. Kimberly Young, told Fox News that internet addiction may be more prevalent than substance addiction since it's free, legal, and fat-free. Well, that's a good thing to know. I'm not getting any calories by listening to this podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, Technorama. It's fat-free.
Young wrote a book. It's gluten-free.
Gluten-free Technorama.
We're now so don't worry, we can kids. Market anything. It's cholesterol-free. Yeah.
It's free.
Let me finish the story. Young wrote a book on internet addiction as early as 1996 and is an expert in the field. She founded the Center for Internet Addiction. That would be the CIA. At Bradford Bradford Hospital in 1995. Though this is apparently her first inpatient program for internet addiction. The hospital will treat four patients at a time, with each class starting the 10-day program together. At the outset, patients are cut off from the internet for 72 hours. Wait, you did that on your cruise, didn't you?
Pretty much.
They start to show withdrawal symptoms, so they get sweats and can't sleep and... You know what? Just keep telling yourself that your internet friends are not your real friends, so don't worry about it.
Well, you know, on my cruise, yes, I did go with periods. I did go with periods without being online, and I was fine with that. I mean, we were doing other stuff.
It feels like a real vacation, doesn't it?
Yeah, actually, well, yeah, I posted a picture of myself on Facebook, and people were saying, wow, I can really tell you look content right there. I was like, I didn't really notice it, but yeah, I guess I was. So, but I didn't break out in sweats, but there was a few times of like, I just wanted to go really down times when we weren't doing anything.
Yeah.
I just wanted to go online and look around, but I didn't really feel the need. Actually, it did me good, I think.
Didn't feel compelled?
Not really.
No, I didn't either. Like I used to say, I used to go to my sister-in-law's house and there was no phone signal and there was no internet. And that was a great Memorial Day weekend, just completely off the grid.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't mean I didn't bring my laptop and didn't have some local work I could do.
I mean, I like to be connected. You know, I like to kind of be around and see what's going on. But I think the cruise really proved that I didn't really need to be connected. Because I went for good periods of time and didn't really think about being online.
So the cure to your addiction is to jack up the price of the bandwidth. Right?
Yeah, because if I was on the ship, it was crazy expensive.
Yeah, it is.
So, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, what, $25 a day or something ridiculous?
Yeah. Well, I certainly, I did think about it a few times, but I certainly didn't break into sweats or start flipping out because I'm not online.
Let's get into the hacks and strange stories. Now,
hey, I do want to pose one question to our listeners before we move on.
Fire away.
Do you think that internet addiction is real? I'll pose two questions. And two, do you think it's going to be either a bigger problem or not such a big problem when the internet, like it is now, it's becoming so useful to be connected, to ask questions and stuff. So is it a problem, an internet connection, addiction a problem? Or will it be worse going forward, or is it going to be less because it's just kind of omnipresent?
There's your question of the day, listener. We want to hear from you. Call us on the listener line, or maybe you can send us your comments. We want to hear from you. Internet addiction, is it real? Tonight on Technorama.
Yes, no, maybe
also
so.
Tonight on Technorama, last week, London made headlines for a uniquely modern phenomenon. The city's newest skyscraper is reflecting the sun into an insanely powerful, quote, death ray that can start fires and fry eggs. Now the building's architect has spoken out, quote, we made a lot of mistakes with this building and we will take care of it. Okay, now that's pretty good.
But how many people have to die between now and then?
Now, get this. This isn't the guy's first problem building. Remember the story? We talked about this in 2010. A Vegas building. The Vidara Hotel. Same guy.
That's what... Yeah, it kept coming to my mind. Like, why did I hear about this
Someone
before?
Was sitting by the poolside going, it's really, really hot out. Well, it's Vegas. Get used to it. No, it's really hot out. Okay? Yeah. In an interview with this guy, these are his own words. I knew this was going to happen, but there was a lack of tools or software that could be used to analyze the problem accurately. Okay, so how hard is it to predict where the sun will be at a certain time of day? You know, that's...
Well, even for the whole year, you kind of have there's a range where you know it's going to be.
It's crazy.
Right?
What he said,
hey,
when it...
Wait a minute. If you can... there's apps for me to predict where a star is going to be in the sky at a certain time. You can tell me we should know where a
sky sounds like.
The closest star is going to be.
If you're ever engineering a building or architecting a building, don't call this guy. He's got two strikes against him, and it sounds like there's another one coming. When it was spotted on the second design iteration, so they caught this on the second design iteration of the building, we judged the temperature was going to be about 36 degrees. Okay, that's about 96, 97 degrees Fahrenheit, he said. But it turned out to be more like 72 degrees. Right? Now, for us Americans, 100 degrees is boiling.
Yeah.
So that's kind of really hot.
Wait a minute. Back up just for a second. I don't think we explained what this building is doing.
It's arc-shaped. It's kind of arc. So when the sun hits it, a whole bunch of the windows focus the light onto a certain spot and make it really hot. And it actually like damaged a car parked on the street. All right. Here's another one of his quotes. This was a completely different problem. He's insisting the following a master plan that specified arc-shaped towers. We pointed out that it would be an issue too, but who cares if you fry somebody in Vegas, right?
Yeah, lives ain't worth that much.
So we didn't learn anything from 3 years ago. And this is my favorite. When I first came to London years ago, it wasn't like this, he said. Now you have all these sunny days, so we should blame this on global warming too, right?
I think his building is burning off the clouds.
I think he stood in front of his building too long and burned his own brain cells.
See, I think we need to get the Mythbusters involved. They can finally lay that Archimedes death ray down for
they once couldn't and for all. Catch a ship on fire, but they could raise the temperature, and that's what this thing's doing.
Hey, you go up to the restaurant at the top and you look down, you can see the burn marks going across the city.
Looks like Cyclops has just been looking around.
Yeah, looking around.
Whoops, gotta put the specs back on.
What can you do? Can you tint the windows maybe? I don't
That's
know.
That's what I was thinking. Tint the windows or some sort of mesh that, you know, shades the windows.
Diffracts it a little bit. Hmm.
Maybe
okay,
some sort
your
of
answer, Mr.
some sort of sunshades that just come out perpendicular to the building and shade the windows a little bit so the sun isn't hitting directly on the windows.
Yeah, you know what? That would cut down on their cooling costs on this.
Either
sun.
Way, it's just a big old mess that is going to be expensive
it me
to
of that,
fix.
That building, what was it in Spain? They built it and they forgot to make they enlarged the building during the build. And they forgot to add in elevator space.
Oh, nice.
So to the upper floor. Because the construction guys, they wouldn't be using the elevator. They were carrying supplies up and down. So they forgot about the elevator. Oopsie.
And then we have to walk. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back with some Remember When stuff from, about 70 years ago. And real quick movie review when we get back.
I, for one, welcome my new Technorama overlords.
Hello and welcome to Technorama.
It's got a silicone skin that fits like a glove. The only thing that's exposed when it's all tight and sealed up, even if you put in the wide body adapter, it's still too squeezy on the silicone skin. There is a little rubber
trap door.
It's a very thin membrane and it impedes absolutely none.
Every once in a while, you know, raise it up or take it off and clean, you know, around it. But I love it. I love that rubbery silicone feel. However, I would always feel like it's going to slide in my hand with that chrome on the back.
It gets pretty slippery, especially if you've been eating Cheetos or something. Your hand gets a little greasy. This has a nice grippy feel. And, you know, you could go out in the rain and this would be completely protected because it is practically watertight.
This is Douglas E. Welch of Career Opportunities, the high-tech career handbook. And you're listening to Technorama with Chuck and Craig.
Long live the Technorama overlords!
In the Remember When segment, we have what the people from the year 1939 thought we'd be wearing in the year 2000. I think we may have done this story once before, but it came up again and we thought it was funny again. Because this video looked very familiar. I remember the lady with the cantilevered heel shoes. And even some of the comments they were making in this video. But Mental Floss recently wrote a short post about a cool British Path video showing off the fashion designers of the year 1939, how they would imagine what we would be wearing in the year 2000. And though the film largely focuses on design for women, it didn't leave out the men. This guy looks like Jesus with a bread basket on his head.
Like one of those fake halos, you know, that you would put on, like a costume halo.
No, the film doesn't mention it. The short movie was produced in conjunction with the February 1st, 1939 issue of Vanity Fair, where different designers took a stab at what people of the future might be wearing. The entire thing was a bit of a publicity stunt for the opening of the 1939 New York World's Fair, which was just a couple of months away. Vanity Fair showed off what fashionable dudes in the year 2000 would surely be wearing. And unlike the film, Vanity Fair's fashion spread was in full color. Ah, the magazine shows...
That's actually interesting in itself.
The man is wearing a one-piece gray tunic, for those of you not watching the video. Beards will be completely fashionable. every man will have a beard because that will be the fashion. And he's got some sort of wireframe antenna on his hat that looks like a double halo.
Wait.
And
he looks like Crow. Hey, he looks like Crow from MST3K.
Crow's got more of a lacrosse face mask, yeah. Though.
Or a little red satellite
dish
thing.
Right. And he's got a phone on his chest. So they were thinking about portable communications.
Yeah, now that was a little forward thinking, but in the video they mentioned that every man will have a radio and a telephone.
No pockets or what did they say? No pockets for this man. He's got two steel like half canteens on his hips.
Two metal fanny packs.
If you were a scuba diver, those would be hip weights. Yeah,
they're probably made out of steel back in 1939.
He looks straight out of Flash Gordon.
Yeah, the lady was one of the ladies they were talking about her dress, and they said it was made out of aluminum.
I liked the lady with the light in her head. She had like a flashlight shaped kind of like a microphone taped to her head.
She had her hands full, and she just needed a place to put her flashlight.
Oh, wow, you're a bright individual. Yeah, it's funny what they thought
of. That's funny. In the year 2000. Well, they missed it by a little bit.
Now, here's a technology. We were just talking about portable communications and video phones. And remember growing up as a child, video telephones were always kind of like the next futuristic thing. They always seemed like the Jetsons stuff. But it was always this dedicated appliance. It was, and for a long time, phone companies wanted to do this, and they started out doing some experiments in the 60s with dedicated phone systems because AT&T, or as we called them back then, Ma Bell, they had invested a lot in the infrastructure, putting in the cables, and everybody had a standardized phone. And when they switched over to touchtone, that was a big deal too because rotary phones were actually triggering mechanical switches at the central office. And when they went digital, boy, that was huge. They had to replace it with circuit boards and stuff. So they wanted to make some sort of video system that rode on top of the existing infrastructure, but it never really caught on. And then somehow, you know, you turn around and go, you know, in the last five or 10 years,
Skype.
We've got Skype, we've got FaceTime, we've got Hangouts. Like, hey, we're video conferencing. You know, employers are doing this to screen candidates and whatnot. And there's a whole new protocol. But some of these prototype systems they had way back when are just like, they'd look like they tried to get to the Jetsons. They've got the little CRT screen that's about 4 inches. But the supporting circuitry behind this thing is just, it's as long as your arm. I'm not sure what's in there.
Yeah. I love how they make their futuristic designs include ovals. It seems like,
you know what it reminds me of?
Oval shaped.
On Wrath of Khan, when they were calling Regulus Station, and they had that really long, tubular video system, and you see Uhura's image on there.
Yeah,
that's what some of these remind me. This is Enterprise calling Regulus Station. Oh my!
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, I remember them being told, "Oh yeah, you'll have." Well, I do remember distinctly somebody telling me that we'll have TVs that we hang on the wall like paintings. Somebody was right on money on that.
Marty McFly.
Yeah, it was Marty McFly. He came in, he's trying to give me some stock tips. By the way, take this almanac. And
dude!
No.
Costume idea, the double tie. That's all you got to wear.
That's a couple of suits with a double tie.
Right, the double tie from Back to the Future too.
That's right.
All right, it's just kind of interesting the whole video phone thing. I didn't realize they were experimenting with this stuff and had it set up in three cities: Washington D.C., Chicago, and was it New York? They had like three major cities. And at one time, they had a total of 119 subscribers.
Wow.
And then it dwindled down to 9.
Well, you know what blows my mind is when I found out, I mean, similar to this, I didn't realize they actually had subscribers doing this, but the first time I realized how old cell phone technology really is. I mean, like, it's been around for since what, the 60s technically, but not widely distributed until, of course, late 80s on through. So I remember a guy had a thing in the back of the trunk of his car, and it was kind of thick, but it filled the back of the trunk. So you could still put stuff on top of it, which is probably not good. I bet it was hot as Hades. But yeah, it was like it was basically an old cell phone.
So it was a mobile phone.
Using repeaters.
Yeah. It was a mobile phone of some type of technology. Because they've had satellite phones for a long time.
And I think technically, I may be wrong. Please correct me if I am. I'm sure somebody will. I think that same technology that they developed back then is really the same, in essence, technology we have today. Of course, switching has gotten better, I know, but yeah, same technology technically.
And you could only have one phone on the cell at a time. Sorry.
Yeah, so some things have changed, but, you know, anyway.
We're going to take a quick look in the media corner.
I'm looking in the media corner.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
Hey, where can I spot R2-D2 in our podcast? Over there, in the media corner. we have an article. You know, when you're reading like the closed caption stuff and they go to a sound effect and they try and put in what the sound effect is, they don't always get it right. Well, Craig has found us several of the best descriptive noise screen grabs on the internet.
Now, these are from movies and TV shows, like the DVDs. And these are subtitles, like you said, from the closed captioning for people that can't hear. But yeah, you know, one thing means something to somebody else. I guess whoever is transcribing some of these, they just kind of wing it. I don't know the sound effects. So we have Tina Fey with her eyes kind of half shut and says, sneezes and farts.
There's one from Adventure Time says, epic thrash metal. Homer Simpson's gobbling down pizza. It's a young Homer Simpson, and it says, grunting with pleasure. My favorite is the one with the three peanuts running after it, dude. It says, peanuts growling.
I don't think I've ever heard those two words put together before.
There are some that are not safe for work.
Yeah, like Leonardo DiCaprio screams internally.
Screams internally. Bill Murray inside what looks like a tree. It says muffled rap music playing in the distance.
You know what? Wait a minute. To me, you know what kind of makes this funny is you think that this is a description of what is going on the screen. Now, somebody that probably hasn't had hearing their entire life, how was that interpreted?
How would you interpret the Japanese one says raffing? Was somebody raffing? I didn't think it was funny. Yeah, some of these are pretty darn funny. You got to go over and look at them in the show notes. And then let us know if you come up with some of your own also.
Hey, how about on the mask? He coughs. The next picture pretty makes good fart noise.
And then he actually farts.
The next picture actually fart.
All right, real quick, this is Chuck's movie review of the latest Riddick movie. It's a Riddick movie. If you're expecting anything other than what's like previous Riddick movies, different storyline, not much of a strong storyline, but it's a Riddick movie. So he takes you on a wild ride of adventure and survival and fighting, and Starbuck is in it. So, you know, you got that going.
There's that.
Yep.
So what did you think?
I thought it was pretty good. It's a guy movie. You know, it's like going to see another Die Hard movie. It's just a good, fun flick to go see with your friends. Or if you just want to wait till it comes to Netflix or whatever, you can do that too.
Okay.
But I liked it. I
kind of wanted to see it.
A fun Saturday night time to go see the Riddick movie. Vin Diesel is always fun. He's a little more beat up in this one. Carl Urban makes a cameo Because they do the backstory about the necromongers and whatnot, so you don't have to watch the others. You can get enough information out of just this one if this is your first Riddick movie.
You know, actually, I don't even think I saw the second one.
Oh, you just lost cred.
Was that the best one? Was it good?
It was a Riddick movie, man.
Was the second one good?
Was the second one the Into Darkness one, or was it the one with the necromongers? I can't remember what order they go in because I watched them too closely together. Few years ago.
I don't know. You got me on that because I hadn't seen it.
I forgot.
Well, maybe we should go investigate.
Which one did you see? Right. You saw the one with the eclipse?
Oh, the first one, the Pitch Black.
Pitch Black. Yeah, that's the one. I thought
that was all right.
Was that the first one? Okay, then because he's wearing some of the Necromonger gear, the armor at the beginning of this one.
Well, I imagine that would probably be the second one that you're talking about then.
He's a tough dude. Let's just say that. He can set his own bones. He can cauterize his own wounds. He's a tough dude.
Yeah. Well, I like Vin Diesel to begin with, so I don't mind him that much.
There's a couple of points in the movie where you got to go, and how did that just happen? Never mind. It's a Vin Diesel movie. So,
well, you know, some of these movies, you know, you just have to set aside logic and just enjoy it, right?
That's right.
So there you go.
Now, I will tell you that the visual effects were very, very good. They made this world totally believable. They had lots of CGI creatures that came to life. He interacted with them. It was very well done. I thought it was great from a visual perspective.
Okay. All right. Cool.
You got one more thing before we head out because we're running low on the clock.
Yeah. I'll make this kind of quick. I watched, it's a documentary over on Netflix. I'm sure it's elsewhere, but it's called Done the Impossible, which is a documentary on from behind the scenes, so to speak, but from the fandom's point of view on Firefly, you know, from its rise to fame to its, you know, fall, and then its eventual rise back up to a feature film. And it was fun. There was a lot of interviews with all the cast, Joss Whedon included, some of the writers, a lot of fans, you know, these were hardcore browncoats. One guy was getting teared up just thinking about the cancellation, and I was like, when did they film this? Because, you know, it's been a little while now. But, you know, of course, that still upsets me today, but not enough to break into tear. Anyway, but anyway, it was a fun watch. And actually, after I finished watching it, I went, you know, I think it's time for me to watch Firefly again. So it made me want to go start watching the episodes again. But it was good. It was fun. And there was a few little nuggets of information I didn't know. Coming from Joss, he was talking about some of the dealings trying to get Firefly. Like, I didn't realize that Fox basically told him he was free to take the show somewhere else, you know, once it was canceled. I went, really? And nobody else bit on that? Which they didn't, obviously, because we don't have more Firefly other than the movie.
Now they're kicking themselves.
I know. Don't. Yeah, actually, Universal was surprised that as the movie was still in, or they just announced it, or there was in production, that they went to these conventions and they saw people selling stuff, you know, basically promoting the movie before there was even a movie. You know, it's that kind of fan base, you know, you've seen it, you know, the Jane hats, all that kind of stuff. You know, the fandom was rabid and there wasn't anything else other than the canceled show at that point. So anyway, recommended. Go check it out if you like documentaries like that. Like I said, lots of interviews, good stuff.
Link on the show
notes. I found
it on
Netflix, and I've got the show notes to the Netflix thing directly in our show notes. I have the link to Netflix. Yeah,
we got it.
You figured it.
We got it. And with that, we come to the end of the show. Thank you very much for listening and downloading and all that other good stuff. Though thank you for the ones who joined us in the chat room tonight. We appreciate your support. If you like the show, if you want to answer our question about internet addiction or anything else, call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT. 206-222.
If you need help with internet addiction, please call us.
You know what? We forgot to do the show title at the top of the show. We're going to record that last and then put it in first. because I was going to mention that our shows might be slightly out of order. We didn't get our audio from the live Dragon Con show yet. So you may be hearing show 382 after 383.
Yeah.
So that might happen.
Oh, that's right. I mistitled the episodes. Oh,
no,
well.
You,
that's all right.
You did not.
Well, I called this one 383 or 2, rather.
No, this is 383.
Yeah, see? I titled it wrong.
It's titled 383. It's all right. Oh.
It's all right.
You mean
actually,
on
you
the
know
live
I consider
thing,
our shows,
on the, yeah, on...
I consider our shows special, so I didn't really put them a number on them. So.
I was listening to one of our specials, the Star Trek Misty thing we did at Dragon Con. That actually turned out kind of good. The audio ducks down a little low sometimes, but if you're watching along with us, I think the narration turned out pretty well. It was funny nonetheless. I was laughing on the way home from church listening to that on the radio.
Hey, listening to yourself, do you find yourself trying to cut the same jokes in your head? And then you say it on the audio?
Or usually before the audio. Yeah, it's the same mental thought
process. I go,
oh,
I should have said so-and-so, and then I say it.
The funny thing is, I can do that years later. It's those circuits are already set for the same smart aleck comments.
Your CPU has burned its path.
Burned into ROM. That's right. Anyway, we were signing off of this show once upon a time. Sound like my in-laws trying to say goodnight for the evening. It just goes on and on and on.
Oh, and one more thing, Chuck.
Oh, be quiet and go home.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Don't you people have lives?
I hope your in-laws aren't listening.
I hope I play the right thing. I played the intro, not the outro. I'm like, why is somebody talking over me?
That's right.
We said this once before. Thank you very much to the people who are doing the generous donations in the tip jar. Thank you to Mad Mar for all the great blog content during the week. And thank you people again for hanging out on the Hangout, joining us in the chat room, and participating in all the fun. You can join us every week, Sunday night at 9:30 Eastern Time. We'd love to see you here. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com. We're also affiliated with Farpoint Media and all the great podcasts over there. Until next time, tell a friend about Technorama. And as always, give me a binary high five, Craig. We haven't done that in, what, a week?
Yeah. Let's see if I can remember how to do it. Oh, yeah. 101.
I probably should have disabled her ship or something when I was down on that asteroid. Well, live and learn.